Well, it's a joy to be here. I'll tell you what, been a blessing to me already. I want to say that I sure appreciate your pastor. He's been up to our church and our camp, I don't know how many times, four or five, and our paths crossed, and we've had him up preaching, and we've never had him there that he wasn't a blessing to our church. Our church always benefited from it and still benefiting from it. In fact, I've got folks there now that God touched them in the meetings that he's held for us, and I appreciate that. Y'all got a good pastor now. I hope all of you understand that and hold on to him, all right, because churches, I preach in a lot of churches, and churches are kindly dwindling down that have old time, I mean, Holy Spirit, King James Bible, good music. Those are dwindling down. And we were discussing this yesterday just a little while, and in our area they're getting few and far between. And so I love being in good churches where you got the Holy Ghost of God. And that's not a dirty word. That's a good word, the Holy Ghost of God. And I love it when we get in a service like that. Now, let me start off by saying this. I can't help you this morning on my own. If I'm any help this morning, it's going to have to be through him. And I don't want to be a hindrance here. I don't want to hurt. And so what I'm going to preach this morning, every song that's been sung has verified it in my heart. And I love that. And I hope that it won't be about me, but it'd be about him. And I hope you will be a participant in it. Now, that won't mean anything at all this morning unless you're in on it. And so you pray right now that whatever God wants to do, that you'll get in on it. He wants to do something here this morning. When I go somewhere to preach, I go believing that God is able to do what needs to be done. And so I hope that you will pray that God speak to your heart through the Word of God. I believe it'll help somebody if we can just have the Holy Spirit breathe upon it. I believe what I'm preaching this morning will help somebody. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. Stand with me while we read this, if you don't mind. Verse number one. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. And let me stop right there and say that always works. I've never known that not to work. He went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Verse number 7 is my text. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in Israel. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. Father, would you bless the word of God now and help us, Lord, here for a few minutes to preach. Thank you, Lord, for the good Spirit of God we felt here this morning. And, oh, Holy Ghost of God, come right now and take over. Lord, do what only you can do. Not what a preacher can do, not what a crowd can do, but do only what God can do here this morning. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll let you be seated there. Verse number 7 says, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. I want to preach a little while on this thought. When the brook dries up, what are we going to do when the brook dries up? What's God have for us when the brook dries up? If Lord let me live to the month of September the 6th, 49 years ago on September the 6th, I surrendered to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you, the brook hasn't always been full of water in those 49 years. Been a few times it got a little dry. Drought came. Sometimes it dried up for a spell. But I was always glad when God raised up something to sustain me when the brook dried up. Now, I got to thinking about here in our text, and you'll notice that he introduces here to us a man by the name of Elijah. Now, Elijah was a great man of God. God had his hand upon him. Very prominent in the Bible. If you have studied him, you'll find out that Elijah performed 7 great miracles in his life. And Elijah came along and he said of Elijah, when God caught him up, said, I'd like a double portion of that. And so Elisha performed 14 miracles. And he's a great man of God. He's a man that could utter prophetical sayings and it would come to pass. He came to Ahab. Boy, this took some courage. He came to Ahab, said, Ahab, it's not going to rain anymore until I give the word. And for 3.5 years, there wasn't a drop of rain in the nation of Israel and throughout the land. He was a man in the book of 2 Kings chapter number 2, and boy, I like this part about him, was caught up into heaven in a whirlwind. Chariot of God came and picked him up and carried him out, and he went up into glory without dying. What a man this is. I'm hoping that's what happens to me. Be all right with me. It'd be today if he'd catch me away. Thank God for that. Here's a man, according to Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 5, said before the coming of the great and notable day of the Lord Jesus, he would send Elijah. Of course, now Jesus said in John the Baptist was that spirit of Elijah. A great man. Now I'm talking about a great man. I'm not talking about a nobody. I'm talking about a great man. In the book of Matthew chapter number 17 and verse number 3, they went up into the mountain of transfiguration, the Lord Jesus. Y'all remember that story. Took Peter, James, and John up there. And all of a sudden there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And there were 2 men that appeared unto Jesus there with those disciples. One of them was this man, Elijah. A great man. I'm emphasizing that now this morning. He was a great man. And I kindly believe, now I might be wrong on this, but I won't argue with anybody. In Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 2, there's going to be 2 witnesses come back to this earth one of these days. And I believe one of them is Elijah. I believe he's one of those 2. And so I'm talking about a great man. I hope everybody's getting this now. Because I feel like I'm down there on the bottom of the shelf. And here's a great man. A great man. But let me just say something about great men. Sometimes great men have great problems. We're not exempt from troubles that come our way.
Elijah got out there and said, "It'll not rain until I give the word." And one day he was beside the brook that had the water in it, and he was not exempt from his brook drying up in that time of drought. And I got to thinking about that. You know, sometimes great men have periods of distress and fear. We're not exempt from it. There's people right here this morning's got fears. I met recently had about 8 or 10 people in my church over a period of years. Their business went bankrupt and they got laid off and they didn't know where the next meal was coming from. Boy, I'm glad I've got a church of believers that believe in helping one another. Thank God for that. It brings fear to you. And then sometimes great men of God have periods where they have lack of faith. I've been through that. I get up here and confess that this morning. I see you building right there. Boy, that's a beautiful thing. I remember one time I was trying to get a building built and nobody would give us money. We believed it was God's will. I want to tell you, I'm glad that God came through for us. Maybe I'll get to tell you a little bit about it here in a minute when we get into the message. But I went through a period that my faith was weak. Lord, how are we going to do this? Lord, how will we progress in this? What will be the outcome of it? Great men, sometimes their faith wavers. And I want to tell you, sometimes great men will have periods of fretting. Anybody here ever fret over something? It's just part of life. Just part of life. Thank God. I'm glad God's great. It kind of blessed me. Now I get blessings by reading, and I read where the great Charles Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers, by 57 volumes of his sermons. Can you imagine that? 57 volumes. I'm talking about little print and 600 or 700 pages every volume. Did you know the great Charles Spurgeon had periods of depression? I saw there one time when he was 6 months out of his pulpit going through a deep, dark depression. The brook dried up. The brook dried up. One of the great heroes of our faith was in prison. You know the story. He's arrested for preaching and thrown in prison. And over there in prison languishing and seemed like nobody was hearing him and his ministry was gone and he's not popular anymore. And he's laying over there in a prison bed and called one of his disciples and said, "Would you go over there and ask Jesus if he's the one? Or should we look for another? You know his name. It's John the Baptist. A great man. But I tell you, it kind of got dry in that old prison, didn't it? No crowds and no preaching and no results and no baptisms. And the only thing he had to go on was one day he saw a fella coming down the road. And he said, "There he is. There he is. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus sent back over there and said, "John, tell John that the blind are seeing. Tell him the deaf are hearing. Tell him the dead are being raised. Tell him those that are in prison to have the gospel preached to them. And just go over there and encourage him that he was not mistaken when he said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.'" I'm talking about great men. But sometimes the brook dries up. Sometimes it dries up. Now, I want to preach what's still real when the brook dries up. I'm glad. Thank God I've got this old book. Isn't that a blessing? I find out 49 years after I started preaching, it still works. Thank God it still works. It's a working right here. Still a working right here. This book still works. And I've been those times when what I'm preaching, and I probably won't get but one point real good because I know I'm going to get bogged down on it. I know I'll get bogged down on it. But I'll tell you, here's ravens feeding him. Feeding him bread every morning. Bread every night. God was taking care of one of his own. And then he gets to that point where he goes out there one morning to get some water. And the water has ceased. And it's dried up on him. And he is now a product of his own prophecy. There's no water for me here. I have no water for myself. And I'll tell you, a friend, when you get to the point where you don't have any. Now listen at me. When you don't have any water in the brook, you'll be more sympathetic with those that maybe have gone through the very same thing. I remember I used to tell people when I was a young preacher and they had a loved one die. I say, well, I sympathize with you. I know what you're going through. But I'll tell you, I didn't know that. But one day I held the hand of my dear little old mother, saved and loved God. And I saw cancer eat her body up. And I lay there and put my little hand upon her chest and felt the death rattle. Now, after that experience, you know, you couldn't tell me. I knew what that's about. I'd experienced it. I experienced it. Stood there and held her hand while she crossed over into glory land. And now I can say, well, I know what you're going through. I've lost somebody precious to self. Now, here's a man, a great man, that the brook dried up on him. And what will God do for us? How does God respond to us? Well, I want to tell you something. I thought our Sunday school teacher was going to preach all over it this morning. But when that happens, I just praise God and say, well, Lord, you must want it emphasized. I'm glad for this. Now, remember, he's there when Ahab and Jezebel are on the throne. More Jezebel than Ahab. Even though Ahab was the king, I think Jezebel was the ruling factor there. And he was there in that time. And I got to looking at this, and I thought about, oh, thank God, when Jezebel and Ahab and the brooks dried and everything's bad, there is still the protection of God over a child of God. Now, there's two parts on this that I want to bring, and I want to show you in chapter 17 and verse number 3, if you don't mind. Verse number 3 says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Now, in this text, he said, Ahab, go hide yourself. Boy, I'm glad, thank God, that when troubles are coming, I've got a hiding place. Somebody sung about that refuge there a few minutes ago. I'm glad I've got a hiding place. I've got a place where God shields us. God will shield you. He can restrain, the Bible says, the wrath of man. The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and as the rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I'm glad sometimes you just need a hiding place. But now, if you'll notice in chapter 18 and verse number 1 and 2, he makes this statement. Came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself. Sometimes you need to hide yourself. But boy, there's a time when you better show yourself. There is a time where it's not time to be ashamed. There is a time to stand up. There is a time to let your voice be heard. There is a time to shout from the rooftop what God's done. There's a time where you go to Ahab and this world and say, hey, the brook might be dried up, but my God's not dried up. Thank God he's still on the throne and he still rules and reigns in the affairs of men. I'm glad there was a protection. I'm glad, number two, there was a power. Now I'm hurrying through these because I want to get to this one point. I'm glad that when I got saved, now listen everybody to this, I'm glad that when I got saved, God put an inward power inside of me. I could stand up here and without reservation say this, that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I'm glad I could stand up here and say that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm thankful that the Holy Ghost is down inside of us. I like the Old Testament when he came upon people, but I sure like it better when he came within people. And we have an inward power. An inward power. But you know, sometimes you need that upward power. And Elijah stands on Mount Carmel, and I'm not going into that because you know the story. He stood on Mount Carmel and said, now, if God be God now, we're going to have to pick out who we're going to serve. Don't halt between two opinions. And he got up there with 400 prophets of Baal and 400 of Jezebel's, over 800. One man, just one man that had an upward connection with God. And they prayed for a half a day and cut themselves and leaped upon the offering, and nothing happened. No answer from God. And here is Elijah. And he says 63 words. And he's got so much power with God in heaven that heaven came down. I believe glory filled his soul. Don't you believe that? He had a power. And then the third thing that I want you to see, he had the presence of God with him. He wasn't going anything. Now you say, well, how do you know he had the presence of God with him? Because he had the Word of God. The Word of the Lord came to him. Amen. I tell you, I like that. I love it when the Word of God is my source of foundation and strength before God. Let me just say this, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, but wherever this word is, now listen to this, wherever this word is, the God of this word is with it. Don't you believe that? I pick up this book, and let me just remind you this, that when I pick up this book, it is as if the Lord is in the very presence of his word. Amen. The word of God, in the very reading of it, every word of God is pure. It's forever settled. He's exalted his word above his name. The word of God is quick and powerful. That word quick, it's alive. We used to have an old missionary over in Africa. He would, Solomon O'Wallaby. I don't know whether you ever met him or not. But I've had him preach, and, he said that when he started that church over in Africa, he went and he'd get out on a street corner and he'd lay his Bible down and cover it up with his hat. And he said he'd get over there a little distance and stand back from it, and he'd say, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. Said about 100 people to show up. He'd take his hat out the book and open it up and start preaching to them. It's alive. This book is alive. It is the voice of God. It's what God uses in our day and time. Amen. Now, those are the ones that I wanted to get through quickly. Here's what I want to preach on the rest of time. Whenever the brook dries up, God will always have some people or a person to undergird you. Now, this, I don't even know whether I can preach this or not.
I get to remember in my life, when the brook dried up, notice what he said here in verse number 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. What kind of people does God use to help His servants? Well, right here, I thought He uses a weak person. You know, God's not too high on this high and mighty stuff, this noble stuff. Amen. This wise stuff, He's not too high on that. God has chosen the weak things. If He hadn't, if I wouldn't be up here this morning. All right, just wanting to throw that out here. I wouldn't be up here. I was the least of the least that God should call to preach. Oh, my. I thought for months that God was making a mistake. And sometimes even to this day, you know, I feel the weakness. But now, if we were picking out somebody to sustain a prophet of God, you'd never pick this woman. Now, I'll tell you about this woman. All she had was a little handful of meal and a little bit of oil. And here was her situation in life. Elijah comes and says, ma'am, what are you fixing there? I'm fixing me and my little boy here a son. Things are bad for us. And I'm going to fix us a little cake, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. That's all we got. And Elijah, the man of God, says, would you fix me a cake first? Now, you might think, well, he's insensitive. Now, remember, he's got the Word of God in him. He's going by the Word of God. Word of God sent him to Zarephath. It wasn't that he volunteered to go. The Word of God said, go to Zarephath. Go to Cherith, and then go to Zarephath. And here's a little weak woman going to fix her meal, and she's going to eat it and her son, and they're going to lay down and die because everything's bad. But she said, nevertheless, whatever you want, Elijah, I'll do it. She went and fixed him a cake. And she looked down in the barrel, and behold, there was enough for another meal. And enough oil for another meal. I remember the first time I ever put a tithe in church, I thought, my in the world, how in the world are we going to get by now? I've gone ahead and put 10% of my offering in the offering plate. But I found out that next Sunday I had another 10%. And the next Sunday I had another 10%. And next Sunday I had another 10%. And all of a sudden, I started giving a little bit to missions. And I found out that what I had was going farther with God than it went when I was using it for myself. Hey, son, go look and see if there's anything. Oh, mom, there's enough meal for another cake. And there's enough oil. You know how long that went on? God wasn't poor. God hadn't exhausted. God had the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm glad every now and then He's let me eat a hamburger from it. Every now and then let me eat a steak from it. And after I've eaten it, He looks out there in the field and He's multiplied it again. And there's more from where that came from. He used a weak woman. I find out that He used a weary man. You know his name. He only wrote one book of your Bible. His name was Obadiah. You know what Obadiah had been doing for 3.5 years? He'd been out there hiding some of the prophets of God in a cave and trying to feed them and give them a piece of bread every day. You tell me that he didn't grow weary. I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you something about old
Obadiah, I guarantee you every day he got up and headed out to the cave, he was looking over his shoulders to see if Ahab had found out what he was doing, because he put his life at stake. And I'll tell you, when you lay your life upon the line long enough, you might get weary. But here comes God and says, Obadiah, man of God's going to come to you today. You know his name. His name's Elijah. And before long ago, Elijah shows up and said, Obadiah, go tell Ahab that Elijah's on the scene again. And old Obadiah said, but Elijah, don't you know that Ahab's been out killing the prophets and I've been hiding some over here? And if I go and all of a sudden the Spirit whips you away, then my life's in danger. And he said, as the Lord liveth, I'm going to show myself to Ahab this day. You go do God's will. Here's a man of God that helped Elijah. I tell you, some folks that he used to help me, he's had some weeping people. I surrendered to preach on a weeping preacher. You wouldn't know him. His name was Willie Randall. Little fellow, maybe 2 inches bigger and taller than I was, but he weighed about 110 pounds. He'd been to China as a missionary. Got arrested, put in prison for 3 years. And they fed him bread and water. Bread had sand in it, rotted all of his teeth out. And I got to go into church, and I couldn't ever get past Willie Randall. Man, he'd get up here and start preaching. Get to weeping before I didn't want to, but before I knew it, I'd be weeping with him. I didn't even know why I was weeping, except he was. Are y'all getting this? And I'd tell people, boy, if you want to hear a preacher, go hear Willie Randall. And he'd get up and open that Bible, and before he'd preach a little bit, he'd weep a while. And then he'd get to preach and weep a while. Get to preaching, and all of a sudden, God... Now listen at me. God took an old hard heart and started tendering mine, because he had a man that showed me compassion and love and understanding. And I won't tell you, I wouldn't even be here today if it hadn't been for him. I don't mind weeping preachers. I don't like arrogant preachers. I don't like self-conceited preachers. I don't like preachers that's too important to shake your hand. I don't like preachers that see you out there at the store and won't speak to you. I don't like preachers that are so in a hurry to get out of church that they don't have time to fellowship. But I sure do love weeping preachers. Something about them. Doesn't that affect y'all? Did you know you see somebody up here singing, they get to weeping, before long you'll be doing it? Hey, that's good for you. You see, God has a way of helping you through somebody else. He has some people there. Thank God. Amen. For those people that God places along in your life, that when the brook has dried up, maybe that they're there to help you. Thank God for that. I like this one. God has some sometimes worldly people help you. I can't begin to tell you how good some people have been to me. They're not even saved. I started the church at Fort Knox in 1968. And we wanted to buy a piece of property. And we went to borrow money, and the banker wouldn't loan it to us. He said, who's going to stand good for it? And I said, well, God. But he wasn't big enough.
He did ask me something amusing. Said, "Can you get his name on the note?" And I said, "No, but I'll co-sign for him." And I was Brother Brooke then. Didn't have no way to build it. Didn't have no money. Bank wouldn't. The fella that we was trying to buy the property for. Now listen to this. I didn't know that he owned 100 properties in that county. He called me and he said, "Brother Broughton, are you an honest man?" I said, "I wouldn't be preaching if I wasn't." He said, "I tell you what I'm going to do." He said, "I'm going to bring a note down and just let you sign it. And I'll sell you the property without any money down at all." Everybody on that board that turned me down were members of Baptist churches. Are you understanding this? They were members of prominent members of Baptist churches. But they didn't believe God was able. Here's an old worldly man. No worldly man came down and, I mean, helped us out when nobody else would help us. That's the reason I love sinners. I tell you, I'll be honest with you. I've had some old sinners be good to me. Preacher, come down. Your tires are slick. Come down and I'll put you a set on and you can pay for them a little bit later. I went down and he put a set of Michelin Best There Is tires on mine. I said, "I can't afford those. Put those retreads." But he put Michelin tires on my car. And I drove them home and waited next week and waiting for my bill. Didn't get it. And I cornered him, went down and said, "Brother, you didn't send me my bill." And he said, "Well, I'll get it to you sooner or later." 6 months passed by and I didn't get a bill. I mean, after 8 months, I went by and he said, "I don't know what in the world happened, Brother Broughton, but that bill disappeared somewhere." God have some help. Have somebody came by. I woke up 2 years ago. My appendix had ruptured and I didn't know it. And I went about 7 days and got in the hospital and they found out. And I most of them thought I was going to die. And I was laying in the hospital there one night. Kind of drowsed and didn't know what was going on. I sent somebody. And I looked over there and there was an old dear brother. Had his head bowed and laid on my knee. And he was praying. Now at that time it didn't matter whether to live or die. I just had somebody, you know, that knew how to hold up a man of God. Let me give you this illustration. You know that man right there needs a lot of help. Now, I've been pastoring for 30, if I can make it to April, it'll be 35 years. I wouldn't be there if it hadn't been some folks like you. And I got to thinking about this when God was letting me get this sermon. I see another great man of God. The battle is fierce. Now, some of you people don't know how fierce the battle is. You think it's bad on you. You let somebody stand behind the pulpit and preach the gospel and see if the devil don't try everything on him. He'll try everything. And I see a great man wrote 5 books of your Bible. Amen. God gave him the pattern to the tabernacle. Battle against the Amalekites was going fierce. And old Moses was out there. Amen. Brother, that's a good lesson. I guarantee that man right there has prayed for you. Some of you folks here, I guarantee he's prayed for you when you didn't even know he was praying. And Moses' hands were up. But they started getting weary. That's in the 17th chapter of Exodus. He started to drop his hands. And when he did, the enemy prevailed. Bible says not to be weary in well-doing, but sometimes you do get weary. And up steps old Aaron over here and his brother. He gets over here on one side, and over here steps another brother, and he gets over here on the other side. His name was Hur. And they held his arms up while he was doing battle. All right, now let me, I'm trying to close here. Y'all listen very close to this. When a man gets right there, it's a battlefield. I told my wife, I held a meeting last week, and on Wednesday night I preached on hell. I have never preached on hell that the devil didn't try to wreak havoc. He'll try to wreak havoc in a good meeting. I was telling him this. We had a meeting going on. Now listen to this, and I'm about done. Y'all stick with me right here just a minute. We had one saved on Monday night, two saved on Tuesday night, four saved on Thursday night. Thursday night, there were anywhere from 12 to 15 sinners raised their hands that they were lost. Now listen to this. That wasn't counting the ones that didn't, and at least 10 didn't raise their hand that they were saved. Glory came down. Did you know after that service, a bunch of them got out in the parking lot and had a big row, and it killed the meeting. It killed it. Killed it in its tracks. And I said, 15 sinners there. I'd gone on forever. Amen. There's a battle over what's preached here. And sometimes you have a man of God. I've been there. You have a man of God that you need to volunteer to hold his hands up. Some of you kids got saved here. Some of you husbands got saved here. Some of you mothers got saved here. Some of you called to preach here. Very few churches like this in America. And boy, we need some Aarons and Hers over here holding up. Brook will dry up one of these days, and you better thank God there are some people or some person out there that God will use to help. Amen. Now, I don't know how to give an invitation. I'm not a master at this. But these altars probably ought to be full this morning. That's where you can participate. It's where you can be a part of it. It's where God can use you to help somebody else. If you're here and lost this morning, boy, I pray you'll get saved. You probably got a man of God down here who needs his hands upheld. I tell you, I get weary sometimes. I'll be honest with you. I get weary. Thank God for some people there to help. Amen. I want us to stand here. And I want you to do this morning what God would impress upon your heart to do. Find your place maybe around these old altars. Need to get right with God. Need to get something laid on the altar to God. Need to surrender your life to God. Need to come join this church. Need to get baptized. Need to get saved. Oh my, praise God. Amen. Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost of